You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kay Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Maysoon, we're at your house today in beautiful San Francisco, California.
The sun is shining in.
The Google buses just drove by. Today we're giving love advice. It's the season. Spring is in the air.
Oh, it is the season, isn't yep. it? This is when all the animals are mating. So get ready.
Yep. Get fired up. It's time to find love.
I think it's also time to find... It's okay if you're not interested in love, but just hooking up.
Oh my God, okay. I don't know if we have any good advice for that.
No,
do you?
Kay and I are also pretty bad at this, but it's okay. We'll work it out.
Okay.
This is starting off on the wrong
foot.
We're
already on a bad foot. Okay, Maysoon. We got some listener questions. People are looking for advice on love or whatever. Mainly love because... If people are looking for sex advice, they're barking up the wrong tree. In terms of like going, I don't know.
I need more specific questions.
Let's see what the questions are and maybe we can get in the mix. But we're not Dr. Ruth and we never said we were.
I definitely am.
Oh, fuck. There's a documentary coming out about Dr. Ruth and I already cried watching the preview.
Why? Don't cry.
She's incredible.
She's pretty cool.
She's incredible.
So this is our love advice for the art world.
Okay, episode. Let's do it, Maysoon. You got our letters?
No. Hold on. Yes.
It's like Miracle on 34th Street.
So, first letter.
Maysoon's always trying to play footsie with me the couch. Okay. So, I'm if really you're looking not. For love.
Come visit Maysoon.
Try a love seat.
Aw,
okay,
cute.
Go ahead.
Okay, first question from one of our listeners. Okay. One of our pollsters.
And these are all anonymous. Mm-hmm. We've anonymized them.
So one person was asking about all the different apps out there.
Okay, right.
Love
okay.
apps. And one person was like, you know, sometimes I don't know if I want to find, like, the person that I want to be committed to forever. But, like, maybe I just want to fool around a little bit. What are the different apps out there?
Okay.
Can you give us an app download?
Okay, I think from what I've gleaned, I've never used any of these. So again, we are just not the experts. But I think Tinder is when you want to just have sex.
Yeah.
Unless you're a gay man, then you're on Grindr or Scruff. Oh,
okay.
Okay. I think Scruff is for all kinds of LGBTQ people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay. And then, that's what I think.
Okay, great.
And then... Tinder.
This person did identify as queer, so we could even make a focus on that if you know.
Okay, sure. I think queers are on Tinder also. You can set whatever you want. And then if you want to be dating, it's all about Hinge.
Hinge.
Okay, that is one where it shows you people that are friends of your friends on Facebook.
Oh. Why would you want all of your information handed over to some fucking anonymous bullshit?
That's what all this shit is. Dude, anything you put on your phone's gonna suck up all your data like a vacuum.
No.
Yes, Maysoon. God, where you been? Come on.
I've been in
They're
my
sucking
little
our data.
Hole,
They're sucking our data down right now. They're vacuum sucking our data every day and night. Okay, here's the deal, Maysoon. Then you got Bumble.
Okay, cute. That's cute.
That's a cute one. I don't
is
know
that
how
like
that
a,
one works.
I want to fall in love.
Probably, yeah. I think it's more for like dating, not like, not like who's close to me that I can fuck right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, then you got motherfucking Coffee Meets Bagel.
Oh, what?
Have you heard of this one?
No.
I can't believe we're like talking about this. Okay.
Hey, man, people have been asking, so we gotta get our listeners up to speed
here. We're getting the listeners what they want.
Yeah.
Which is what we always do. I don't know. There's like something where you like play a game or pay money to get beans and then you spend the beans to be able to contact people. Don't fuck with that one. That one's crazy.
What? I thought it was cuter than that.
But people use it and then they're still, you know, for real long-term LTRs, you know what I'm talking about?
Long-term relationships,
if you're looking
everyone.
To get married, or something, or like a more serious relationship. People are still using like OkCupid.
Okay. I thought that, what is OkCupid about?
It's like a full-on website. They probably have an app now, too.
Like, you make a website about yourself on OkCupid?
Like, there's a page. Like, you know, these are all apps. OkCupid. Yeah. Yeah. I used to have OkCupid back in the day. OkCupid is different because there is a battery of questions that you have to answer.
Oh, it's like a full-on profile.
And then it finds out your compatibility with different people. Mm-hmm. And when I was on there, there was, like, quizzes, like, which Harry Potter character are you? And you could see what other people, how they got. I did go on a date from OkCupid once with a woman who was a lawyer, a law student. We had like 95% match.
Whoa. Okay.
Her dog was named Willie. Aww. My dog's named Wally.
That is the cutest.
Is that crazy?
That's amazing. Did you go on a
date? We did not get along. I mean, the person was lovely, but I was like, a chance in hell. Not a chance.
Isn't that weird? 95%.
She was really into Disneyland. And I was like, who am I? Is this the mirror that I'm looking into? And then, oh man, Mason, you want to hear a real whopper of a story?
Yes.
The first time I got on OkCupid, I was like 19.
Okay. A wee baby.
Yeah. And I went on it. I had just broken up with like my first girlfriend, I think. And I was, like, still kind of, like, open to life's experiences.
Oh.
If you know what I mean.
I'm not
and
sure.
And I went on a date with a guy.
Cool.
And I was on, I was high. This was before I got sober also. Aww. So I was, like, high on drugs.
High on drugs, dating a guy. What's happening
and
next?
And so I go over to this guy.
Did you sleep with him?
Fuck no.
Good. God,
no,
Mason. Way too far.
Never. Never.
Okay. Please don't.
But I did get Chinese food with him and went to his house. For some reason, I brought like 3 tote bags full of shit. It was insane.
Like, what kind of stuff? Like,
I brought my PlayStation.
Oh, you brought some like board games?
I don't know. I was insane. And then we're hanging out at this guy's house. He's like, hey, I'm really into geocaching. You want to go find these GPS coordinates? And I'm like, yeah, cool. Because
oh
I was
my
like,
God,
really
you
on
guys
one.
They're so cute.
Oh my God. And so, but Maysoon, I went out to the forest with a stranger who I just met in the middle of the night.
No.
Right? To find like somebody's motherfucking buried treasure.
I'm really glad you
and thank
you
fucking God
yourself.
I wasn't killed.
Yes.
That's the moral of the story. But point is, while we were out there, he's like, every girl I've ever dated became a lesbian.
And you're like, ding, ding.
And I was like, whoa, that's wild. I was like, that's wild. And then we like went back to his house. He literally read me poetry.
Oh my God, what a weirdo guy.
God bless. I mean, I hope he's found love and happiness.
Me too. It sounds kind of great.
And then we parted ways and I gave him a hug and I like ran my hands down his arm. You know, like if you were like going from a hug and then you're like, let your hand kind of travel.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then I grabbed his 2 thumbs.
Oh my God, this is so awkward. I feel like genuinely uncomfortable sitting here listening.
I can't believe I never said this story on the podcast, but I totally can believe it. And I rubbed his thumbnails.
What?
And that's the farthest I've ever gone with a man. And I ghosted him. I never spoke to him again.
Did he get back in touch with you?
He tried to, yeah. He sent me some messages on AOL Instant Messenger.
Yes. Oh, whoa.
And I was like, never responding to
you.
You
never even were like, hey, actually, I'm not interested.
Nothing.
I'm actually a lesbian.
I think I sent that message loud and clear by not speaking to him.
Sure. You know, I just feel bad. I've heard both sides of this situation. I mean, not quite the thumb rubbing. I think it's kind of fucked up to ghost people. They're kind of, it like ruins their day, you know?
Who ruins their day?
Well, I don't know. Like,
because
like,
they're
if you're
waiting.
Into someone, because
they're waiting
they
to
just
hear.
They don't have any final, like, there's no, like, case closed moment, right? It's just like that person just literally disappeared and you thought everything was cool.
Okay.
Potentially.
Do you think it's not morally right?
Maybe morally. The thing is, I also don't think anyone should do anything they don't want to do. So, fine.
But I think usually it's not to avoid anything big, major, emotionally taxing. It's to avoid saying, I'm sorry it didn't work out, but I wish you the best.
Yeah.
Like, which that's is all you so have to say.
Easy to say.
Yeah.
On email? Come on, you don't have to fucking talk to them in person.
I think, though, with...
Or not in person.
With straight women, and maybe even queer women, there's, like, a little fear that it will... It's not going to just be like, hey, sorry it didn't work out.
And that someone's going to... It's going to turn kind of...
Then they're going to be like, you're a fucking slut whore anyway. You know, because you just don't even want to have any degree of conflict with someone that you don't know very well.
But couldn't they do that anyhow? Because they already have. There's already been a way to get in touch.
I don't know. You never know. I think the reason people ghost people is to avoid that any kind of emotional conflict at all. That's why I do it always.
So figure out what kind of dating you want to do,
and that's how you can decide.
And
which
then
app.
Check out the app. Sign up. What's your advice on, like, the profile? Do you give like, real information?
I have been so unsuccessful, Maysoon. I have no idea.
Do you give, like, real information, or do you just make some shit up?
Oh, no, don't make up stuff. Unless you're,
see,
like...
I would be inclined just to be like, I'm just making some wild-ass shit up.
If you're really looking for love or some kind of thing, just... You can't
I
just make
shit up.
That
doesn't make sense either. I don't know. It just feels so crazy.
Look, I think these are my tenets, even though I have no idea what I'm talking about. You want to put your best foot forward. So when you're picking your pictures,
put your suit on.
It's like, say on Tinder, you have a few pictures, right? That yeah. people can look through. And it's mainly the pictures that people are looking at. You don't have a ton of text.
Yeah, because you want to be like, is this person hot or not?
Right. So you got to have a fun one. Okay. You want to start off with one that's just very, like, makes you look your best. You know, in a friendly, open way.
Friendly way, okay.
Yes. Then you want to have a sporty one where you're outside. then you want to have a fun, maybe a little bit of a goofy one to show
maybe
that you don't take yourself
puppy.
Too seriously. No, Maysoon, I have no fucking idea how you're supposed to do on Tinder. Puppies. It seems like a fucking shit show. What people need to do is they
definitely want to post one from when you were 10 years younger.
No, Maysoon. See, this is your lie, your web of lies. Maysoon.
Because I know people have done that. Like, they post the picture of them much younger and, like, ways thinner or whatever, you know, and they're, like, all of a sudden, like, a very different looking person.
I highly advise against anything that disguises the real you. You want to be upfront. Yeah. You want to look your best, but you don't want to look too good. Okay. Better than you are. Okay.
That's good. I think that's good.
Maysoon, here's the deal. Everybody delete all that shit. Don't get on the internet. You need to take a cooking class.
Oh.
That's where you're going to find all the available people. Because they're all there to find love.
You think cooking classes is where
it's at? If you take a cooking class where you learn to cook lobster thermidor.
I hate lobster.
I guarantee 100% you will fall in love and get married.
With the lobster.
Okay, Maysoon, we had a question from a listener, another love question. About, okay, they had a kind of a more specific situation.
Okay.
This listener was on Tinder.
Okay.
And they saw someone who they know.
Oh, yeah.
As a friend.
Yep.
And it had shown them that they swiped the good way. I forget which way.
I don't know if it's right or left, obviously.
Yeah. The person swiped the yes way.
Yeah.
Okay, so person A sees that person B swiped yes on Tinder, mm-hmm. but they're like, it must have been a mistake. Because sometimes people just, like, fly through those things and don't even look who it is or, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you could swipe on someone you know and kind of not realize you're doing it or, like, stuff like that. Yep. So now person A is like, I don't know which way to swipe because I don't know if it was a mistake or intentional.
I think you could always, I have to say, if they're a friend and they swipe you, you could swipe them too, like the yes way, just as like maybe it's just a friendly gesture. And I'm saying this because a friend of mine had this happen recently where this guy, I think, I don't know where, which one they were, which app they were on, but this guy swiped yes, whatever, whatever direction it is.
Whichever direction.
For her. And she, my friend was like, oh, wow, this guy swiped yes on me. And he's some, like, they're friends for a long time, but he's always been someone who's been in a relationship on and off. But she was, in her mind, was like, if he were ever available, he would be awesome to date. Like, she was kind of feeling him, like, super into him. And so then she swipes and then gets in touch. And he's like, oh, gosh, sorry, Vanna. You know, I was just more like saying, hey, funny to see you here. Like, hi. Which... One, I want to say, that's fucking bullshit. So I want to say, if someone swipes you and they're a friend, you should swipe yes, because I think it's kind of like the polite That's like the nice thing to do.
I would say the complete counter argument. First off, if you don't intend to have a romantic interest in someone, do not swipe on
them. I agree with you on that.
In the good way, because you swipe either way.
That guy should not have swiped her in the good way, period, because the fucking app is for hooking up, dating, marrying, fucking whatever you want.
Yes.
So if you don't intend to do any of those things with that person, you should swipe in the other direction because it's misleading information.
Okay.
However, in the case where you do swipe that way, what is the person to do? We're back at your question.
Exactly. You got nothing. You got no options left. I just think
it's... Okay, so then maybe you just swipe no.
If you want to date them or do whatever it is you're there to do, swipe the yes way.
Yeah.
If you don't, swipe the no way.
Right.
And that will guide all your choices. Don't worry about what their intentions were. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Unless it's your boss.
Ever swipe your boss.
Don't swipe someone who you shouldn't be involved with.
You're like, you know, legitimately. That's my current teacher in school.
Ooh.
I should not be dating
teachers. Don't be on there. There should be a special app just for teachers.
Oh, that would be really cute.
Teachers dating other teachers.
It's called Apple something.
Maysoon, that's our moneymaker.
That's a good one.
Okay, Maysoon, we've gone a little far afield from art, so let's dip into our art romance questions. We got a question from a listener saying they are in the art world. They went on a date with somebody else they knew from the art world.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever that might be, an administrator, gallerist, or whatever. And it just didn't work out. Nobody was a monster. The spark wasn't there.
The spark didn't last long, let's say.
And so, point is, how do they handle it now that they have to fucking see this person every other fucking week?
Yeah. I mean, I think if they're your friend and you see them on the regular, maybe it's not every week, maybe it's a couple times a month or something, I do think you have to be honest with them and just say, hey, you know, it's not working out, or...
Oh, well, you got to tell them.
You got to tell them.
Number one, you got to tell them that you guys aren't together.
Okay, good. Yeah, we agree.
That's the first and foremost.
Well, because I think the other option is, like, you just don't get in touch with them. You try to ghost them. But the reality is that you can't actually ghost them because they're embedded in your community.
You can't ghost somebody that you're going to see all the time.
No, that's just fucking dumb.
That's a fucking nightmare where you have to pretend not to see them and, like, hide all the time. Oh, man.
Do you have experience with hiding from people?
That's all I do, Maysoon. See, you're a more direct person than me, where if you have a problem with someone, you're going to straight up tell them to their face.
Or, I mean, not always. It's more just like, I don't see why my problem with them should, like, limit what I can do.
And that's a very adult, mature, and wise way to live. I think I'm, like, probably a level 4 here. And you're, like, level 9 or 10.
No.
Yeah, for sure.
No. So what does the person do? They talk to their friend. They have an open and frank conversation.
They have two choices here. They take the Maysoon route, where they be direct and open and honest.
And
or
caring.
You can take, I'll give you my method. You just
disappear,
have to just have
hide.
You have to believe in your mind that if you wear a hat or if you take your glasses off, that people literally cannot recognize you. And then if you see the person, you do that thing. Like, take off your glasses.
Yeah.
So you and then look like you run else. Away.
Then you actually run away.
Yeah. And you got to let the people, if you're going to an event with friends, you got to let them know on the way there that you might have to just ditch out.
Oh, damn.
And run away and tell them not to follow you.
Yeah. This is not hide and seek. Just let me go. Okay. So that's some strong advice from Kate Rhodes. And maybe.
That's advice many people may not know.
I'm sure. There's also, like, where do you think openings are a good way to meet a potential loved one? What do you think about?
I just feel like that last question we just answered made me feel like you got to go out of your normal social circle to find someone to date. Because if it goes wrong.
Oh, right. Of course.
At least I would not want to see someone. You know, if things go wrong, I want to be able to retreat to my own world.
Right, like your world is like your sanctuary,
yes.
Right, where you know that it's safe, you can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe the sound advice here is to try to date outside of your direct.
That's why you go to the cooking class in the part of town you're not always
all
in.
Right, I like this cooking class idea.
Yes, or like a dance class, or like, I don't know, where
take dance class with me.
You got some singles there, Maysoon?
Actually, I mean, honestly, I bet you there's lots of queer women taking dance classes.
Oh, for sure.
Not a lot of guys. Probably not a lot of straight guys, like I can say.
I think that going to something where people are being constructive, they're improving themselves, they probably have a positive growth mindset, you know, if they're learning. Mm-hmm. I think that could be going to some kind of thing like that. That's where you got to be meeting people.
If you live in San Francisco and you're more familiar with SF, maybe you start going more to Oakland scene.
Sure.
Just to be like, this is at my like direct group of people, but it's still art and it's something I can engage in and maybe meet some new people.
Okay, Mason, this brings us to our next listener question. Okay. So this couple, they're both artists, okay? And let's say person A is a pretty successful artist. Like, they're getting a lot of opportunities. Yep. They're doing pretty well.
They just got to the Whitney Biennial.
Exactly. And their partner, person B, is not doing so great in terms of their career. They're kind of not getting a lot of opportunities. Maybe they were doing a little better, and now it seems like it's kind of sloughed off or whatever. They've kind of hit a... And person A is like, I know that person B is kind of upset about how well I'm doing. Mm. Not that they don't want me to succeed, but that it's making them feel bad about themselves. Right. But they don't want to talk to me about it because they're, you know, trying to be a good partner and not, you know, and celebrate with me. But I know that there's something going on there. But I don't know how to even broach the topic without it, like, turning into a whole thing. And so they're looking for advice on how to talk to their less successful partner.
Yikes.
About what's going on in each of their careers. And I'm like, I have no idea.
Well, I guess my immediate thought is like, is partner A really, are they showing that they're supportive of their art, of their partner's work and of their, you know, their practice? Like, are they showing up for them? Are they being there? Which sounds like they probably are.
Yeah. And I also would say it's also hard to be a good active partner, you know, when you're super busy. Like, if you're having a lot of opportunities in as an artist, you're probably fucking swamped as fucking dying in this town.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really be there for someone else. And maybe you're actually probably asking your partner who's not as busy because they're not getting as many opportunities to help you probably. I mean, this is from my own personal experience. Our research assistant, Katie Kondo, who's also my girlfriend, always helps me with my projects. Yeah. And I can only imagine.
She's in so many of your projects.
Even. Oh, yeah. She's like my collaborator.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, all artists I know, if they have a partner, that partner is on the line for a lot of art help. And it probably would suck to be helping someone who's really on fire when you're kind of in the shit dumpster.
Yeah.
So I'd say that maybe be thinking about that when you're like looking for who's going to help you. Maybe look for help elsewhere.
Like in partners or in your studio kind of thing. Like maybe not have your partner be your
helper. Yeah, don't have your partner be your studio assistant if they're also artists and they're kind of struggling.
Yeah.
Maybe to try to find times where you can help them with their shit. Yeah. I'm really making up a whole thing from this listener. They didn't give us all this information.
I oftentimes think that artists who have more success or who have more perceived success, whatever, have the ability to kind of even bolster their partner. You know, like maybe there's an opportunity that arises where they can curate their partner into something or hand over an opportunity to them. Maybe they can't take the opportunity. They're like, oh, you know, my partner would be great at this. Let me give it to them.
Yeah.
Like there's that potential, which I think
that's hard though. Cause then you start to feel like you're doing a little nepotism.
Yeah. But sometimes it's like,
if you just kind of
fucking luck,
just kind of do a little sleight of hand.
Yeah. Kind of talk shit about that.
Mason, what about how is partner A going to bring it up? Should they bring it up?
I really think partner B needs to bring it up. If it's their problem, like, it's not, partner A is not responsible. Like, they did not do anything wrong. They're just continuing their career that they are also passionate about, which I think is absolutely, totally what they should do. If partner B is feeling, like, a little bit upset about it or, like, feeling like it's bringing up all these feelings for them, I think it's actually, in a good relationship, they should really be like, hey, I want to talk to you about this. I know it's not your fault, but this is how I'm feeling. I'm trying to figure out a ways that I can like lessen this feeling. Can we talk about this? Like, let's talk about it as a couple and figure out how to get me into a better headspace.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a really, you should be able to be vulnerable with your person.
Oh, yeah.
And that is what your person wants you to be happy. They want you to find, like, whatever that is.
Yes.
And if you're happy, then the relationship is healthier.
Yes.
If you're sitting there, like, stewing because your partner's just successful or more successful than you, it's no one's fault. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they shouldn't have to say, it's my fault that my partner's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I shouldn't be successful so that my partner can be happy. Like, no one wants that.
No.
That's a terrible scenario.
Which is probably why partner B hasn't brought it up.
No, but partner B doesn't have to bring it up in a way that it's blaming their partner.
Right.
For their...
But it's so hard to do. It's so hard to say, like, hey, you're being really successful, and it's, like, kind of making me feel shitty about myself.
I know, but...
And I know it's not your fault.
But you gotta do it.
Yeah.
You just gotta do it.
Maybe partner B needs to, like, kind of, I don't know, go to therapy. They all need to go to therapy.
Partner B should definitely go to therapy.
Everybody listening to the show, sure. We endorse therapy. It's
seriously
basically impossible to find a therapist in the Bay Area, but...
Is that true?
Fuck yeah, dude. Maysoon, what about the CIIS?
So, I will say that 10 years ago or so, when I was having lots of trouble with my mom and decided not to talk to her for 6 months on the phone, I saw a therapist that whole time to deal with that shit. And it was a student. It was someone who was getting their hours from CIIS. And they had gone through all the training and they were just...
Was it like sliding scale?
It was $40 a session. It was fucking amazing. And I saw her like once a month or once every 2 weeks or something.
And
it was really helpful. And it was amazing. Like, I felt so supported by her. I literally like cried all the time. And she was so tender. Like, it was kind of what I needed dealing with like kind of a crappy situation with my mom.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty awesome. So I would definitely start by looking into that program.
Yes.
You know, it depends on like what you're going for. If you're going because you have like a mental illness and you need to be treated.
Well, then you need a psychiatrist.
Like, yeah. And that's a serious thing.
Yeah.
It's all serious, but that's
medication.
Like a real. Right.
You're going to need some meds. Okay. But Mason,
which is nothing to be ashamed
of. I went over
to
the motherfucking Pacific Center, which is the same thing, but it's in Berkeley, and it's like all like LGBTQ.
Okay, great.
Plus,
is that
like
over
focused
by the Ashby BART?
It's a little farther down towards Berkeley campus on Telegraph. It is great. I recommend it. They also have support groups there that are just like, you know, if you're a older lesbian, or if you're a trans person, or if you're whatever older. Gay guy. I don't know.
Gay guy.
Like, they have just support groups for people to just meet and talk about their experience and support each other, but they also have the same thing where it's like people doing their hours.
Yeah.
And I went to one and it was fine. The person was fine. Very kind, very nice.
Okay.
Doing it for all the right reasons.
Okay.
I did not find it helpful at all.
Why? What weren't you getting out of it? I'm just curious.
I just wasn't getting like, I don't know.
How many times did you go?
I went for a few months.
Oh, okay. So
I went for about 3 months. Yeah.
Because I think therapy is also one of those things that takes a little while to get kind of like,
oh, well,
to start
yeah
to get
and
what
I
you
mean,
need
I've
out
been
of it
in and out for many times.
Yeah.
I've been like,
so
I
know
spent
how
years
it's
in therapy
to work
when I was 17 and then again when I was 20 and meow, meow, meow. I've been in therapy, Maysoon. I know the deal. Mm-hmm. And this therapist was having me draw.
Oh, was that fun for you?
No!
I'd be like, no, I don't
I was
do
like,
that.
Hey, I'm here because I'm really stressed out about being an artist and, like, being all this stuff. And she's like, let's draw.
You're like, no. No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, my God.
Wait, really? Is that really what
yeah,
she said?
Yeah, she had me do some, like, occupational kind of therapy where I was drawing how other people perceive me. And she
is that
was
your
like,
sun sign?
Yeah. Point is, Maysoon, everybody listening, if you can, move out of the Bay Area and get a good therapist and really sort some shit out. That's my advice to person A, person B,
yeah,
and everyone that writes yeah in with problems. Or no problems.
Person
we gotta
B,
de-stigmatize.
Just have faith that your person A is there for you and that you can be vulnerable with that person. And they will support you.
Yes. Well, you know, you can't be doing your artwork, your administrative art administrator work. You can't have a good, healthy, functional relationship without a little bit of work on the old brain.
Yeah.
Okay, we had a listener who wrote in saying that everybody they've been trying to date has been poly, and they're not. But it just seems like if they want to be able to see anybody, they got to get on the poly train and join a polygon. So should they take the dive or what? And I would say, don't you take that dive. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it.
No, if you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Because you're going to get in there, you're going to be like, oh, this seems cool. I really like this person. I'm really attracted to them or whatever. But they're in this whole poly zone where I know it's not going to be a one-on-one kind of monogamous thing. But I'm going to pretend that I'm okay with it. No, you're not okay with it, probably.
Yeah, again, back to therapy.
Yeah.
If you're pretending, it's not going to work out.
I've known so many queers that have gotten into a relationship being like, oh, it's going to be open, but it's fine, even though I've never done this and I hate doing it.
Do you think it's more common in the queer community, the poly relationships?
I kind of do.
And so I feel like then there's, like, the pressure that you should be, like, loose and cool about it.
Yeah,
and
that,
it's
like...
Not, it's, like, just part of our, like, our community and how we roll, but it's kind of, like... BS, maybe it's not really not BS, but like I don't believe, but that like it's you shouldn't force yourself is what I'm saying. Like,
oh,
what
yeah.
You're saying too.
Well, if you're just the kind of person who just is a monogamous style person, but I can say from my own perspective, I have had times where, because all my relationships that have been monogamous relationships, that I feel like, oh, I'm not politically radical.
Oh, right, because you're not, like, into poly or you're not super...
Yeah, because, yeah, like, there's a lot of...
Right, that's what I mean. Like,
philosophizing
yeah.
that monogamy is, like, a control
yeah.
mechanism.
Yeah.
And it's, like, part of the patriarchy and the hegemonic ruling class and stuff. And yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
I understand. I get it. But I'm just, like, not down for all that.
Me neither. It's so true.
That would stress me out. It yeah. would just stress me out. We're prudes, Mason.
We're Midwesterners.
We're sorry.
That's why.
You guys do you. But if you're not into it, don't you do it.
Don't you do it.
Just know your own heart and know that you're going to get your heart broken if you're hooking up in an open relationship with someone and then you're like, oh, now they're dating someone else and I'm sad. Okay, if you have romance questions, we will respond to those in 4 years' time. Give us a call, 419-351-6606, or email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. Okay, Mason, we got a couple announcements from people that wrote in. We got Margaret Cho at the San Francisco Arts Commission Gallery. That is right behind City Hall. It's where Maysoon works. It's going to be her birthday on April 18th. And please do bring her a pie. She's not really a cake person. It's at 6 o'clock p.m. The show, as every show that Margaret curates, is going to be fucking phenomenal. And if you miss it, you're trash. You're dead to me. Okay. And
right,
we got an opening coming up from Tracy Wren. Just so you know, she is a good person and a good artist and a big fan of the podcast.
Are you reading that? Did someone write that?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
She has an art show that's opening Saturday, April 13th. It's her first solo show.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations. It's going to be at Mutual Stores, a new collective studio / projects place / residency program in Oakland. Awesome. I got to go to this.
Yeah.
Co-founded by Kate Pruitt. And Rosa Novak and Brendan Page, all wonderful humans. And artists. Kathy Lou has a studio there.
Kathy Lou, I love you.
Hell yeah. So anyhow, this opening is Saturday, April 13th from 5 to 9 p.m. at 2633 Seminary, right over there by Mills.
Oh, wow.
In East Oakland.
Oh, I think Kathy posted about that.
Yeah.
She's been teaching at Mills in the ceramics department.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Oh, that's perfect for her. Light refreshments will be served, and there will be small bricks for sale and riso printed zines to take home for free.
Weirdo artists love it.
So everybody should go to this. We gotta go. Also, Tracy wants us to do more man on the street interviews, and I say fuck no.
Tracy, that was a lot of work, girl.
Yeah. Also, Mason, we got an email where somebody is offering the podcast disability insurance. Also, yep. And sure enough, Jack Fisher's got to show up. And UC Santa Cruz's MFA exhibition is opening on April 26th. Their show is titled Receivership.
Oh, wow. Okay. And the Mills Senior Show just opened last weekend. That's only going to be up for a couple weeks, so try to get out there. Senior show is pretty good at Mills.
It's better than the MFA show.
That's what they always said.
Just kidding.
No, I know.
They just say that to make the undergrads feel good.
What?
Just kidding. That's well, awesome. I mean, I think it's all good. It's all good. Just you know, go. There are some good ones, some not so good yep. ones, but it's you're glad true. You went. You feel good. You go to Founders and get brunch.
Aww.
And take cute. A little swim. Walk your dog. If you hide your dog when you come through the little booth, they don't make you get a dog thing. A dog permit.
How do you hide your dog?
Under a hat. Under a huge hat.
Oh, you mean in the car. Sorry, yeah. I'm thinking you're walking on campus with the dog.
No, you're in a car. Hide your dog under a hat. You're all set.
Little Wally is so calm that he just sits there quietly under a hat. I
love him. Okay, so I hope everyone finds love if they're looking for it.
Or finds dates if they want it.
Yes. Whatever you're looking for, I hope you find it. From the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been...
Congratulations, Pine Tree!